Show with Charlie James.
And good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, everybody. And I'll tell you what, let's see if you got a little bit of the luck of the Irish this morning. I got two tickets right now to the North Charleston Pops. They're having their Hollywood's Greatest Melodies coming up at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center tomorrow night. That is Saturday, March 18th, tomorrow night. Two tickets. I'll take caller number 4 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250, and you will pick these up. There is one little caveat, though. You got to be able to pick these tickets up today for this show coming up tomorrow night. So caller number 4, 556-1250, going to win these tickets to the North Charleston Pops Hollywood's Greatest Melodies. We'll go to the phones right now and say good morning. Who is this?
Brandon Lee.
Brandon, how are you?
Very well.
All right. Congratulations, bud. You just picked yourself up two tickets to the North Charleston Pops Hollywood's Greatest Melodies at the Performing Arts Center this Saturday, or tomorrow, actually. How about that?
Awesome. That's awesome.
All right, buddy. Hold on just a second. We're going to get some information from you. Now, don't forget, we got another pair of tickets to the North Charleston Pops coming up this morning, as well as tickets to go see Earth, Wind and Fire. Boy, that's going to be a fantastic show. So lots for you to win today on WTMA. And, of course, it is St. Patrick's Day. We've been talking a lot about NPR and the defunding of public broadcasting in the new budget. Now, everybody's getting all worked up on this, but I'll say it again. It's going to go back in. It's going to go back in because these huge donors that are big supporters of NPR are also big. Anybody? Bueller, McBueller, O'Bueller? Large political donors too. I really don't understand the benefit of it. All right, 556-1250 is the number. Any of this programming that you can get on NPR, like John Quincy and I were just talking, like they had Victoria. And they also have another show that I like to watch, Father Brown. That's a good show. It seems like every night I have to watch some amateur detective with a foreign accent solve a crime. I just do. Either I'm watching Poirot, or I'm watching Miss Marple, or I'm watching Father Brown or something like that, or Midsummer Murders. Love that show. So, but any of this stuff you could get on Netflix. Any of this stuff you could get on Netflix. And what do I pay? I pay like $8 a month for Netflix, $80 a year, $96 a year for Netflix. Any of that stuff you could get right there. Any of this educational programming you can get right there. So I think at some time in the past, NPR and public broadcasting probably had a good purpose. And you remember the days where you go and you had three channels in your station, and then you had the NPR station that you could never get in. Had to fiddle with that dial and the antenna and all that. And at that time, it was probably, you know, educational television, something for the kids to watch. But it's transformed into something else. It's transformed into something so elitist now. I mean, some of this, like I said, I was kind of making fun earlier, but when you've got a chamber quartet and there, or some guy from, I don't know, musician from Afghanistan who plays drums made of clay, I mean, you just, you know, it's different, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's good or beneficial. So it's just, again, just and another argument that you're going to hear about it is, well, you know, public funding, you know, taxpayer dollars only make up about 3% of public broadcasting. It's only about 3%. Well, then you won't miss it. If it's only 3%, you shouldn't miss a lick. So this operating budget for WNYC, what did we say? That was like $40 million. Let's see here. Let's say total programming services, $59,124,065. What's 3% of that? It was nothing. You can make that up. I'm sure all of your outraged liberal New England donors would be glad to write a little bit more of a check. I'm sure the Bernie Sanders of the world would love to do it. I'm sure the what's the CEO's name of Laura Walker? I'm sure Laura Walker would be happy to give up a portion of her $500,000 a year salary. Oh, and by the way, while she got a raise to $500,000 a year, they were laying people off at NPR, and she makes about twice what the second highest paid person at WNYC makes. So I'm sure she'd give up some of her salary. I mean, she's a good, responsible Democratic socialist, right? She's responsible like that, right? Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
I'm pining for the home country this morning. Oh, dear. When Irish eyes are smiling. Coming up in just a few minutes, going to tell you what we break down, what's going on at the St. Patrick's Day Parade and some of the festivities going on today, because it is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2017. Also, we got Gene Sapikoff from the Post and Courier coming on this morning. We were supposed to have Andy Shane on at 8:35 this morning. He is the Columbia bureau chief for the Post and Courier. But he sent me a thing. He said, I need to cancel this morning's appearance because of breaking news. And I think what the breaking news is the fact that Jim Corson has been indicted by a state grand jury on ethics charges. Now, this was coming in late last night. Formal announcement is going to be happening this morning, as they say that Corson's been charged with conversion of campaign funds for personal use and misconduct in office. So I'm pretty sure that Andy Shane is going to be covering that that press conference today. But as soon as we can, we will get him on to talk about this, because this investigation by David Pascoe up in Columbia has even kind of caught up Governor Henry McMaster, and we'll run some of that down for you coming up in just a little bit. You don't want to miss out on it. We'll tell you all about that. All right, so Donald Trump's travel ban was shot down by a judge in Hawaii the other day. And are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? This judge in Hawaii shot down Donald Trump's travel ban. Guess who was in Hawaii over the past couple days? Go on and guess. I bet you can't guess. Oh, come on. Barack Obama was in Hawaii. That's right. He made an quote-unquote unexpected visit to Hawaii less than 48 hours before this judge issued this stay for Donald Trump's travel ban. That's right. Oh, and by the way, this judge also was a classmate of Barack Obama, graduated at Harvard Law School the same year as Obama, nominated by Obama for his position back in 2012, and apparently was at a restaurant about 5 minutes away from the judge's house. Oh, this judge, by the way, who says that the travel ban is unconstitutional, his kids go to a very, very restricted school in Hawaii that only teaches kids of Hawaiian descent. That's it. You don't get to go to that school unless you are of Hawaiian descent. Oh, that doesn't seem quite right, does it, Judge?
My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. Baptized by Father Riley,
could you imagine?
To be made a little orange man, me father.
My grandparents had that album and would play that song over and over and over. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to the phone. Now let's talk to Gene Sapikoff with our Post and Courier report. Gene, how are you, buddy?
Great. It sounds like the green beer is flowing in the studio.
That's right. Hey, man, I tell you what, it's going to be some celebrating going on with the University of South Carolina. What is this first time in how many years that they've been to the tournament?
How about this, Charlie? First time since 2004, the Gamecocks have been in the NCAA men's tournament when they lost to Memphis in Kansas City. And if they win tonight against Marquette, it would be the first time since 1973 that they've won an NCAA men's tournament. In 1973, Charlie, the Godfather won for best picture. The Watergate scandal was just breaking. The Miami Dolphins had won the Super Bowl. And believe it or not, in 1973, there was no Netflix.
Oh, wow. That's a long time ago. So what's that? It's like 44 years, right?
44 years.
Wow.
Trying to snap the skid against Marquette tonight and get to a second round game on Sunday that almost certainly would be against Duke, because Duke in Greenville today plays Troy. North Carolina plays Texas Southern, and Arkansas plays Seton Hall. And that's what makes that regional the toughest ticket in the NCAA tournament.
Especially, all right, so they get past Marquette, they got to go Duke. Duke is one of the favorites in this thing, right?
Yeah, Las Vegas likes Duke to win the whole thing. Duke went into the ACC tournament, Charlie, last week as only the number 5 seed, but then they won 4 games in 4 days, and what's happened is the Blue Devils have got healthy. They were fighting injuries all season, and now they're together and intact, and boy, they roared through that ACC tournament.
All right, so now on the women's side, Dawn Staley, they're taking on UNC Asheville.
That's right. Tonight at 5 o'clock, the Gamecock women, they're one of the 4 number 1 seeds in the women's bracket, and they play UNC Asheville, and then on Sunday they would play the Arizona State, Michigan State winner. Going to be a little bit of a challenge, though, because they are without 6'4 senior Elena Coates, one of the best players in college basketball, the top rebounder in the SEC. So it's going to be a tough road. Not tonight against UNC Asheville. That's going to be a wipeout. Probably not Sunday. But as they get into the Sweet 16 next week, that's when you may really see the loss of Elena Coates hurt the Gamecocks, and it's going to be interesting to see if they play small or can find some subs off the bench that can fill in that rebounding role.
Now, what does Las Vegas say about the winner on the women's side?
UConn, just a heavy favorite again. Maybe not as much as in some years, but still, you know, undefeated. They've won over 100 straight games, and they're just rolling, getting to play in Bridgeport, Connecticut to start the tournament. And they're just going to really be a tough out as we go along. But maybe South Carolina, maybe Notre Dame, maybe Baylor could pick them off, but it's going to be tough.
Definitely. Some other games of note in the tournament. You know, everybody's got their brackets filled out and everything. How are we looking there?
You know, it went pretty much quote-unquote chalk yesterday. There were a couple of upsets. Xavier at number 11 seed beat Maryland, though a lot of people had Xavier winning that game. And the biggest upset was number 12 Middle Tennessee State beating number 5 Minnesota. But otherwise, things went pretty much according to seeds. Today, you know, watch out for number 10 Wichita State beating number 7 Dayton. Wichita State is the lower seed in that game, but they're actually favored. Greg Marshall, the coach there, was a former College of Charleston assistant. And the other team from South Carolina that's in the tournament, Winthrop, lost yesterday to Butler, but that was no upset. Winthrop, the number 13 seed. Good season, though, for Winthrop.
Right, and in football, we heard about that 45-year-old guy trying out for Clemson. Didn't make it, but heck of an effort.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting. I was actually up there to see the practice when he went out for the team. And you could kind of tell that he was, let's just say, a little bit slower than some of the other walk-ons.
He was 45.
Yeah. But it took guts for him to go out
there.
And he wasn't just trying to make it as a kicker or a punter. He was trying to, you know, play on defense. And it was funny what he said after practice is, just think, if I'd have gone out last year, I could have been on the national championship team.
But, that's optimism for you right there.
That's that can-do
spirit. We love that. All right, Gene, we appreciate it, buddy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Gene Sapikoff with the Post and Courier and our sports report this morning.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Now God's seen some sinning.
I think other than Van Morrison and maybe Celtic Women or the Coors, Ireland has never produced a lot of great music. This is what you get over there. There you go. Worst job in the world to be an Irish DJ, I think.
Really?
Not that great. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We've got about 7 minutes until 8 o'clock. So Aldi's opened up over in Mount Pleasant yesterday. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal. They got a new grocery store. It's over there where the bowling alley used to be over there on 17. What is it called? Pins? I think it was called Pins or something like that.
You know, that's odd because the one in Somerville where they used to be was a bowling alley.
Right, yeah.
But they completely tore the building down to make a new store.
Oh, yeah, they raised that thing. They raised that thing. Well, the folks at the City Paper, their editor-in-chief went to Aldi's.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Did you see this ridiculous article by Kenzie Gittick? So her first post was... Now, you're talking about... Now, this is a millennial here. This is one of the millennials. Editor-in-chief of a free daily newspaper. Free weekly newspaper. Her first post was, the political bumper stickers on the SUVs in the parking lot should have been a red flag that perhaps this wouldn't be my shopping nirvana. But nevertheless, I persisted. Oh, well, that's... Well, are you judgmental much, Ms. Gittick? So you pull up, you see SUVs with political bumper stickers in there, and, oh, maybe it would have been better if you'd have pulled up and you'd have seen Volvos or, what are the other? A bunch of Subarus, maybe. A bunch of Subaru Outbacks with ETV stickers on it. Maybe you would have felt a little bit better when you pulled in there. So after wrestling, she goes on to say, after wrestling with a tangle of chained grocery carts, a savvy shopper informed me that I needed to insert a quarter. It's a free one. Yes, that's right. She went on to talk about the block cheese that they had. Yeah, sometimes, Ms. Gittick, I'm not sure where you get your cheese. Maybe you buy them the full wheel or something like that at your favorite cheese shop. What is it? A charcuterie, I believe, is the name of it. But yes, people do buy block cheese. And she can't imagine this. I guess she's lived a privileged life where you don't actually buy block cheese. But yes, it happens. She says Aldi's signage is straightforward, like grocery shopping for dummies. So again, another judgment there. It's like Costco on Trader Joe's scale with ramshackle dollar store organization. Boy, she's something. And then her final was, please don't make me go back there. Nobody made you go there in the first place.
Yeah, really?
It was your decision. So let's take a look at some of the... you go in, you put a quarter in for the cart, and guess what happens when you return the cart?
You get your quarter back.
You get your quarter back. That's exactly right. I guess you can't understand that concept. So Kelsey, I think her name, Kenzie Gittick, the editor of the City Paper. Let's take a look at some of the other... incredible feats of journalism that Ms. Gittick has written. Let's see. Here's one. One Broad Street to become Upper East Side Waffle House. That was hard-hitting journalism, right? That was in-depth reporting. I think she probably win a prize for that one. Fig and Hannah Raskin move on the James Beard Award finals. Oh, that's good. Brisket, enchiladas, nachos, and sopapillas will be offered at John Lewis's Juan Lewis workshop spot. This is serious journalism here by this young lady, the editor in chief of the City Paper. I used to take great, I don't know how to put this. You know how they do that Best of Charleston every year?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to win this year, Charlie.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to win this year.
You might have up until about 30 seconds ago.
So, and I was nominated, I think, three different categories or something like that, two or three different categories this year. Never expect to win this stuff. Because, number one, WTMA listeners do not go by and pick up the City Paper. They just don't. That's not our demographic. It's mainly aimed toward liberal millennials. There's always, they got some old fart on there who's always mad about everything. And he, he's a big liberal. I don't even remember his name. That's how much his writing sticks out to me. So, I don't care. Ever since Chris Hare left, I could care less about the City Paper. I mean, he was kind of left of center on things, but, I mean, he was at least nice to talk to. He was funny. He had a sense of humor. He could laugh at it himself, but I don't know, man. I don't know about these other guys. And as far as Kenzie Gittick about Gittick, whatever your name is, you going back to Aldi's, you never have to go back. You never have to go back. You can go shop at Whole Foods or or make your own cheese. I don't know. I guess she's got a goat in the backyard or something. She makes her own goat cheese or something.
Well, she doesn't need to save money. Evidently, she's making a good salary there at the city paper and doesn't need to get deals on groceries.
That's right. Good for her. Good for her. So, no, you don't have to go back and spend that quarter like the rest of the great unwashed Miss Giddick.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It seems like everybody in Ireland's drunk or sad. And Sheila reminded me, I said that, you know, other than Van Morrison, nothing, no good music. U2 came out of Ireland, too. So, there you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. The parade downtown starts off at about 10 o'clock this morning. You can get out there and, I don't know. I've just never been a big St. Patrick's Day guy. It's just, I don't like to go out and get blind drunk and things like that. I've celebrated before, but nothing crazy. Let's see, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's go to Tony in North Charleston. Tony, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to correct that on part of the story he did. The Taurus judge doesn't shoot three projectiles at once.
It holds three rounds.
No, it holds six rounds, and it's
capable. The Taurus revolver.
Yeah, it's capable of shooting either a 410 shotgun shell or a 45 caliber bullet.
Okay. So let me just. All right. Well, appreciate it. I'm not. All right. Thank you very much. Six rounds. One, two, three. Yeah, probably so. Yeah, I'll hold six. So. Anyway, they were talking about that that guy that killed his wife. Tried to make it look like a suicide. That didn't work. Let's go to Malcolm in Somerville. Malcolm, how are you, buddy? Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day, whatever that means. Listen, I talked to you last week, and I waited a whole week to come back at you. And I wanted to ask you, what is this wiretapping? That was a big lie.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, because it never happened. We concede to that. We concede to that, Mr. James.
Not yet. No, no. I will concede to that when you concede that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
No. We're talking about the wiretapping.
Okay,
right now.
Okay. But I know that. I will concede. And like I said, I will concede that there was no wiretapping if you concede that there is no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
All right. We're talking about Mr. Paul Ryan. He's giving fist because he wants to be president himself. So he can't get along with that guy. We got another guy that was taking money from the Russians, thousands of dollars. What was his name? The guy that was fired or whatever?
Michael Flynn.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Flynn or whatever. What do you
got
to say about that? Any words on that? Any words of wisdom?
No, Michael Flynn really got no comment on that.
From the Russians, so that was a big mistake on the president's part.
Okay.
Agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, but listen, not everybody you pick for your cabinet is going to be, you know, an ideal candidate.
He's done nothing for his base. He's done nothing for them, but they continually support him. And everything, all of his policies or whatever, is going against his own base.
And wait a minute, like which ones, Malcolm? Which ones?
What is that? Everything he's done. He's done nothing. I mean, I have not seen anything. The wiretapping was a big lie. He's a liar.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Malcolm. How come the New York Times? No. How come the New York?
The real president.
How come the real president? Is he the real president?
He was the real president of wiretapping.
Yeah. How come the New York? When the New York Times accused the Michael Flynn thing of wiretapping, how come you didn't come out against that?
Well, we just found out that he was a crook.
What was that?
The real news media.
What are you talking about?
The real news media just informed us that this guy was the crook that was receiving money from the.
So how did they find Malcolm? How did they find out that he was having conversations with the Russians? How did they find out? How did they have transcripts of these conversations?
Great news reporting. It's the real news. It's not fake news.
Malcolm, let me ask you something. I'll ask you again. I will ask you again, Malcolm. How can you have transcripts of a phone conversation between an American citizen and somebody else? How can you have those transcripts?
Mr. James, I don't know the news business, brother. I'm telling you, it's great news reporting. They bring the real news.
Forget the news. Now, wait a minute. Just a second. Let's say, Malcolm, you call, you call your cousin in St. Louis. And there is a transcript of that conversation. How do I get that transcript of that conversation that you had with your cousin in St. Louis?
Well, I don't know. I can't. I don't know the news business. I don't know how to communicate. All I know is what I hear on the real.
I think we've gotten down to you only know what you hear. You only know what you hear. So if you've got a conversation between two people, and then another person has a transcript of it, how does that person get that transcript of that conversation? How does that happen? I don't know how that happens. Oh, I got no idea how. I don't know news. I don't know. New York Times said it was wiretapping. They said it was wiretapping. You know, all the news that's fit to print. They were the ones that initially called it wiretapping. So, all right, there you go. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. You got to read beyond the headlines, man. You got to read beyond the headlines. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to win yourself some tickets to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire in concert. That is going to be a fantastic show. And also, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the president's new budget that talks about doing away with funding for public broadcasting and the National Endowment of the Arts. So is this really the end for Big Bird and Bernie and Elmo, or is it about time? Also, the National Endowment of the Arts, I mean, how much money is the are the American people going to keep doling out for things like Andre Serrano's image of a crucifix floating in urine? Yeah, that was NEA money. How about the art installment that had the American flag in a toilet? Yeah, that, I guess that is art, you know, and somebody get paid for that. Oh, and by the way, the play Franklin or Hamilton, you know, that play that cost $5,000 a ticket to go see in New York City? $5,000? That play was able to come to life because of a grant from the NEA. Now, did they pay back that money? Now, I know it's not a loan. I know a grant's not a loan. But did they pay back the money that the NEA paid to them to get that play started? Huh? $5,000 a ticket? Number one show on Broadway, selling out every single night at $5,000 a pop? You think you could kick the American taxpayers back a little something for that?
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 25 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Brian west of the Ashley. Brian, how are you?
Good. Hey, I turned in the middle of your conversation with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Now, were you guys talking about conversations between Flynn and Russian ambassador?
Right, yeah.
All right. Well, yes, they were listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, but it wasn't two U.S. private citizens. That's the key. I mean, it's well-known fact that Russian ambassador's conversations are pretty much listened to all the time.
Right.
Right.
But
where's the... Okay, go ahead.
The fact that they were listening... And they say that this is the way that they get around having to get a subpoena or a authorization for a wiretap from the FISA court. Is what they will do is they will listen to, so basically we're wiretapping the Russians. We're listening to their conversations. Now, this was a private citizen talking to a Russian ambassador.
Okay.
So you don't have a problem with a private citizen's conversation being monitored.
If it was two private citizens, yes. But since it's just one private citizen talking to someone who's not a private citizen, who is an official from a adversary country, then no.
Okay, so you don't have a problem with us wiretapping the Russians. What if it had been, I don't know, let's say Angela Merkel?
Any country.
So whatever phone calls come in from a foreign country, you can monitor.
Yes. What's your argument against it?
What's your argument for it?
Because they're not private citizens. They're not covered by our Constitution.
Oh, okay. Well, what about Michael Flynn?
Sort of the same thing.
Wait a minute. Brian, are you yelling at me? Brian, are you yelling at me?
Well, it's because you...
Well, then bye. I'm not here for you to yell at. You want to have a decent civil conversation, I'm up for that. But you're not going to yell at me. That's not why I sit in this chair. Get upset. Control yourself, young man. Control yourself. It was the New York Times that said that Trump Tower was wiretapped. It was the New York Times. Nobody had a problem with that. Nobody had a problem back when the New York Times said that Trump Tower was wiretapped. However, when Donald Trump said that Trump Tower was wiretapped, all of a sudden they want proof. Oh, give me proof. Give me proof. And he says he's going to have proof coming up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But nonetheless, you don't yell at the host, Brian. Thank you very much. Scott, it was west of the Ashley. I'm a grown man. Scott, how are you?
Yes, you are indeed.
What's up, buddy?
Do you think the Russian ambassador knew he was being listened to?
Oh, more than likely.
See, I'm not so sure.
You don't?
No, you know, it's a constant game where every entity, every country wants to upgrade their stuff and encode it, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so they're not. And maybe they weren't sure. And then when this story spilled, it told them, oh, by the way, they've cracked our latest stuff. They are listening.
Yeah. yeah, it could be. Yeah,
I mean, latest technology. And it was, you know, that's a casualty here
mm-hmm.
to our intelligence community, but it was worth it to them to damage Trump.
Yeah, I just wonder if the message is encoded on one side and not encoded on the other. I mean,
but just
you could still listen in.
That's true. That's a good point. Charlie, you used some flawed technology or logic earlier.
Yeah, what was that?
You said Malcolm, if he was talking to his cousin in St. Louis, how would we have a transcript of that? The same way we would have a transcript of Malcolm talking to any of his relatives.
Mm-hmm.
All inmate conversations are recorded.
Right. Yeah, and we found that out, didn't we?
We did.
We found that out with that Vault 7 dump from WikiLeaks. Scott, I appreciate you calling in.
1250
WTMA. Hey, whiskey or the devil, you're leading me astray. Over hills and mountains and to America. Your sweet or stronger days and are your spunky or nutty. Oh, whiskey or me darling, drunk or sober.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Portugal and Spain, drums are beating, banners flying. The devil are home, we'll come tonight and love fairly well.
The old Irish music. Sheila sent me a text, John. She wants you to play something by the Pogues. I don't know if we have anything by you. Got anything by the Pogues in there?
I'll look and see.
Look and see. All right. 556.
How about Sinead O'Connor? Is she Irish?
That's right. She is Irish. Yes, she is.
And she loves the Pope.
Oh.
And the Catholic Church.
Big time. Big time. Let's go to Anthony, west of the Ashley. He's been holding a while. Anthony, how are you?
How are you doing this morning, Charlie?
Good, good. What's up?
Got a couple of points. That Russian ambassador that Michael Flynn met with, that's such a big deal. Well, so did the Hillary campaign, but
right.
You don't hear anything about that in the news.
Yeah, I wonder if their phone calls were tapped. Yeah,
of course they were, but, you know, it's just, you don't hear about it.
Right.
Second of all these people calling in, well, you know, he's talked to the, well, Michael Flynn is an American citizen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He is protected by the Bill of Rights, and those rights are not given to us by government. They're given to us by God.
Right.
Those are rights that the government cannot infringe or you know, take away from us, okay?
Yeah. So,
and, you know, if you're willing just to give up your Fourth Amendment, well, why not give up your First, your Second, the Fifth? What about the 13th Amendment?
Yeah.
Most people, that is probably what I just said, 13th Amendment, whatever most people said, because they don't even know what it is. But my point is if you're willing to give up your Fourth Amendment, why not just give them up all?
Right.
You know, give all of them up.
What good are any of them?
Exactly.
You're right. Absolutely. Anthony, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that call. Yeah, it's going to be, and listen, it's going to be this way for the next 3 years and what is it, 9 months. That's just the way it's going to be. As long as Donald Trump is president, they're going to try to do everything they can to bring down his administration by any means necessary. You know, we told you yesterday about a tweet, well, that video from Snoop Dogg, who basically shows him doing a mock assassination of a clown that's dressed up like President Trump. And Donald Trump sent out a tweet that said, hey, you know, what if, could you imagine Snoop Dogg doing this? I'm paraphrasing here. Could you imagine Snoop Dogg doing this to Obama? Making a video like this to Obama? He'd be in jail. And so then Snoop Dogg's nephew, Bow Wow, I guess is his name, he comes back and he says, hey, you keep talking bad about my Uncle Snoop, and we're going to pimp out your wife and make her work for us. You know what? No wonder Melania Trump doesn't want to live in the White House. Could you imagine that kind of anger and hatred? I mean, there have been tweets about raping Melania Trump. There have been tweets about assassinating the president. You have never seen anything like this in your life. You certainly didn't see anything like this during the Obama administration. But don't think this is going to die down anytime soon. Don't think it's going to die down. They're going to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until either they can't go anymore or Donald Trump steps down as the president of the United States. And if that happens, I don't think, well, we'll have Mike Pence as president, of course, but it's horrible. It's horrible. Now, this is the left. This is the tolerant left, the loving left, the, you know, hold hands and sing kumbaya. That's those folks that are talking about assassinating the president, pimping out Melania. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, human trafficking. Yeah, that's cool. Wonder why Twitter allows that. Wonder why Twitter allows somebody to put out something like that. Oh, and by the way, somebody, so I saw this yesterday and I was like, well, let's double check on this. So McDonald's, there was a tweet yesterday from the official McDonald's Twitter account. All right. And it says, real Donald Trump, you're actually a disgusting excuse of a president, and we would love to have Barack Obama back. Also, you have tiny hands. And everybody was saying, fake news. Oh, that's fake news. No, it was actually not fake news. It actually happened. It was actually on the McDonald's website. McDonald's came out with an explanation that their Twitter account had been compromised, and they took the tweet down. But it was a real tweet. Somebody either broke from the McDonald's Corporation or somebody hacked into the McDonald's Twitter account and posted that. So, but that's the vitriol. When's the last time you saw anything like that about Barack Obama? You haven't. You haven't seen anything like that. So, again, the tolerant left at work. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, I got some more tickets to give away to the North Charleston Pops and Earth, Wind, and Fire coming up on the Big Talker 1250.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's 7 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Tell you what I'm going to do right now. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Earth, Wind and Fire at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center. This is coming up on Sunday, April the 2nd. You don't want to miss out on this show. I'm going to take caller number 5 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 5 going to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. Remember, I'm taking caller number 5, not necessarily line number 5. Let's go ahead and go and see who this is. Hey, good morning. Who's this?
This is Aggie.
Aggie, how are you this morning?
Fine.
Aggie,
did I win the tickets?
You sure did win those tickets.
Great. Oh, I'm so excited.
Earth, Wind, and Fire coming up to the North Charleston Performing Arts Center on April the 2nd. How about that?
Great.
Have you ever seen them before?
No, sir.
Well, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a fantastic show. Who are you going to take with you?
I'm not sure yet.
No? Well, I bet you'll have a lot of friends. A lot of friends saying, hey. Take me. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you. Coming up a little bit later on this morning, I got some tickets to give away to the North Charleston Pops and their concert that is coming up tomorrow night, Hollywood's Greatest Melodies at the Performing Arts Center. It's going to be a fantastic show there also. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Now, one of the big discussions about the budget that was proposed by President Trump is the defunding of public broadcasting and NPR. Well, not really. Is it defunding or they just didn't include them in the budget? Now, again, I will tell you that these two things will go back in the budget. These two things will go back in the budget before it's over with. Because, like I said, the people that fund the National Endowment to the arts, the people that make the donations, people that make the donations to NPR. These are deep pocket donors and very influential people. Basically, you got to be influential if you are. Oh, what do we watch? Victoria, I think it's Victoria that we were watching on NPR. And there was this one woman. I guess if you give enough money, you get to be on, you know, they'll come videotape you there, and you get to tell everybody how much NPR means to you and on public broadcasting and all of that. So she was on there, and I'm thinking, yeah, this woman is loaded. She's dripping with money. So I don't have a problem. Now, remember the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, that hasn't been around forever. That only happened around 1965. And I guess before 1965, we didn't have art. There was no art before 1965, so we decided to start funding it. And you get great things like the crucifix in urine, and you get the one museum, art museum or gallery. They've got an American flag as a doormat, so you can wipe your feet on it when you go in. That's art. They consider that art. One had a flag in a toilet. That's art. So you get to pay for that garbage. But, you know, art's been around. I mean, my wife's an artist. Not a dime from the NEA. No grants for her. She doesn't get that. But yet she does quite well as an artist. I don't know how that happens. How can my wife possibly do it without government handouts? Oh, my gosh. So if these people are so concerned about art, pony up. Take out that checkbook. Start writing. Writing those checks. Well, why are we doing away with that? It's only 1.6% of, you know, their but. Well, then fine, they won't miss the money. And we told you earlier this morning about how much money that WNYC in New York, their public radio station, they've got a $49 million? No, an $83 million budget. $83 million budget for the number 22 station in New York City. $83 million. Because they don't have to have financial responsibility. They don't have to have fiscal responsibility. They don't have to say, you know what, maybe we don't need the $3,000 microphones. Maybe we can get by with the $600 microphones. Let's do that. Maybe we don't need, you know, maybe we don't need to be paying our CEO of one radio station $500,000. Maybe we don't need to do that. Maybe we don't need to have, oh, and I was looking at some of the salaries. I mean, just unbelievable amount of salaries that they're making at that television or radio station. in New York. It was just unbelievable. So I'm gonna give you that. Let me just see if I can pull that up real quick, because just want to take a look at their financials. Here we go. WNYC financial statement. Because they are, you know, publicly funded, then they have to do their they have to put their financials, make them public. Let's see. I'm trying to find this. Oh, I don't have it. Doggone it. Anyway, their salaries are absolutely amazing. And they spend $50 million on programming alone. $50 million. Man, one radio station, $50 million they're spending. Because they're getting their money from donors, and they're getting money from you and me, and they can be as biased as they want to. And when I was on vacation last year, we were out with some friends, and they're big NPR listeners, and they were like, you know, I think they're pretty neutral. I think they're pretty, and I was like, of course you think they're neutral. You're liberals. Yes, you think they're neutral. So I don't have a problem with eliminating public broadcasting, because again, Sesame Street, that's just a commercial. That's just a commercial for all those dolls and toys that are being sold at Toys R Us, and we get to pay for it.